Well, thank you for being here this morning. And if you'll please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 6. We're continuing our study in this wonderful book. And let's look at Acts chapter number 6, verses 1 to 7. This morning. And I'll read verses 1 to 7. Please follow with me in your Bibles, beginning in verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose the murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Verse 7. Why don't we read verse 7 together on 2. 1, 2. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, how your word reveals our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his will in the church. And Lord, we pray that you would stir us up, that you would challenge us, that you would rebuke us and revive us again, so that, Lord, we may be a soul-winning church, a church with a heart for the lost, and a church with a passion to serve you. Lord, we thank you for what you reveal to us in the Scriptures. Lord, help us, we pray, to be attentive and to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we continue in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that Christ is fulfilling his will in the church. As we've just sung this morning, more about Jesus would I know. And as we read through the book of Acts, the Lord wants us to see the Lord Jesus Christ working in and through the local New Testament church. And what we see this morning in the book of Acts is that there was a problem. And what's encouraging to us is that the Holy Spirit of God doesn't gloss over the problem in the church. In this local church, there was a problem, and God wants us to know about that problem. You see, here in the first century, in the book of Acts, God shows us the pattern and the example of what a true biblical church is. God wants to show us what kind of church is a church that reaches the lost around them. God wants to show us what kind of church it is that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. But this church had a problem. But thank God, he has the solution. In these verses that we have just read, though the word deacon is not mentioned, these verses are often used as the first reference that describes the office of a deacon in the Bible. This passage gives us some insight into why the church obeyed the need to set aside a special group of men to be servants of the church. So this morning, the title of the message is The Need for Servants in the Church. The Need for Servants in the Church. You see, if the local New Testament church is to go further and to fulfill the Great Commission, God is calling, especially for men, to be servants in that church, to be willing to serve the living God. Well, let's find out this morning what the problem was, and let's find out what the priority was that Peter declared, and then let's find out, thirdly, what the proposal was that the apostles gave them to solve the problem. Well, notice in verse number 1, first of all, there was a problem in this church, wasn't there? There was some murmuring taking place. Now, I know there's no murmuring in our church this morning, but there was in this one. Now, I'm just kidding. Why was there murmuring in this church? Why? Because where there are people, there are problems. Where there are people, there are problems. Notice the problem of multiplication there in verse number 1. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 tells us why there was some murmuring, because there were people. Verse number 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring. So as you can see this morning, very simply, where there are people, there are problems. And if you go from this place and say, well, I'm going to look for a church that's more perfect than this one, let me assure you, you'll never find it, because you're in it and I'm in it. Amen. Imperfect people lead to imperfect churches. But the Lord, as we follow His word, is able to help us to grow and to fulfill His will together. So there was the problem of multiplication. In Acts chapter 2, you remember the Lord was multiplying believers. There were 3,000 saved. And then later there were 5,000 men saved. That's not including their wives. That 5,000 is not including their children. As you can imagine, the church was growing. The local church there in Jerusalem was growing in leaps and in bounds. So they had a lot of people. And the more people they had, guess what? The more problems that occurred. But that wasn't a bad thing. That was a good thing. The Lord had a plan even for those problems. As the church grows larger, so does its potential for problems. That's why as a church grows, it needs greater, stronger, godly leadership in that church. Well, there was the problem of multiplication. Notice the problem of murmuring. The problem of murmuring. The Bible tells us in verse 1, notice there with me, that there were two different groups of people murmuring in the church. The word murmuring refers to a secret debate. Can you see the picture? They were talking behind each other's backs. They were talking about the problem that was in the church. They weren't addressing it openly. It wasn't brought before the church. No, there was gossip, you see. There was slander taking place. Here is a picture of a church full of believers, a church full of people with a problem. And God had the solution. Now, there were two groups of people. There were the Greeks these were Jews that lived in Greek speaking countries. So they weren't Gentiles. They were Hellenists. That means Jews living in Greek speaking countries. They were loyal Jews. They had taken on and absorbed some of the Greek culture where they lived. And they were different from the native Jews that lived in the land of God's people. They were different. And the Bible tells us that between these two groups, there arose a murmuring, a whispering. People were talking behind each other's backs. And what I'd like to quickly point out that at this point, that we need to understand that through what we've seen already, we have a clear picture of the attacks upon the church. Remember, Satan tried to stop the church from preaching the gospel and use the religious Jews to try and stop John and Peter. Isn't that correct? They experienced two waves of persecution already. Now, because Satan couldn't destroy the church from the outside, what was he trying to do? Destroy the church from the inside. That's how he works. He works through murmuring. He works through complaining. He works through gossip. He works from without and from within. So now he's trying a new tactic in the church. He's going to attack from within. He wants to divide the people. If the people are divided, then the church is crippled. Wouldn't you agree? The church cannot strive together forward for the faith of the gospel. Now, the same is true today, brethren. The devil cannot attack us from the outside. He will attack us from within. And he will do everything he can to divide this local New Testament church, to cause us to attack one another. And let me remind you, brethren, there is no place in the local church for anger, for unforgiveness, for murmuring, for division. God wants us to be in one accord. And anything that gets in the way of that has to be dealt with biblically, according to His word, lovingly, firmly, with grace and forgiveness. And here in the book of Acts, I trust you are encouraged to see this church was not free from its problems. Why?
Because they had people. They had people in the church. They had murmuring, and that murmuring had to be dealt with. It had to be addressed. Now, what was the real problem about here in verse number 1? Well, it says that there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, so the Jews that came from Greece and the Hebrews that lived in the land. There was a murmuring between these two groups because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration or in the daily service. Now, remember, in this local church, people were sharing their goods, weren't they? Remember in the previous chapters what we've learned already. Those days, people sold their goods and pooled their resources to help those in need, especially those that had traveled from foreign lands and had become believers in Jerusalem and that were now stuck in Jerusalem in a way, stuck in the will of God right there. And their home, their possession, their work was far away. And so the believers helped one another out. And it was the responsibility, as we've seen, of the apostles to help to see that the people received that which people gave to them. And as the church grew larger and larger and larger, you can imagine with me, the job became too big for the apostles to handle. It became too much. And some people were beginning to miss out. Some people were beginning to miss out. The Greek-speaking widows were not getting the share of supplies that were given to the Hebrews. So some were getting some things and others missed out. And so there was a murmuring, and because there weren't enough hours in the day for the apostles to get the job done, and the church was multiplying, and the people were growing, so were the problems, and this problem needed to be addressed. And as a result, some things were left undone, and that caused problems in the church. Now let me assure you, brethren, that the church still faces this problem today. You see, when there are not enough servants, then God's people cannot be ministered to as they should. You see, the apostles couldn't do everything. As the church grew, there were more needs because there were more people. And the apostles couldn't do everything. They couldn't. And this problem needed to be taken care of. And brethren, we need to understand that the church will continue to have problems until God's people are willing to serve one another. Amen. Until God's people are willing to step up and to be the church that Jesus Christ wanted it to be. Now, thankfully, not only do we see this morning that there was a problem, but there was a declaration of the priorities. You see, when the apostles stood up and Peter addressed them very clearly, no doubt in the midst of the apostles, when he told them what they needed to do, they spoke among each other as the 12, and they declared to them, look, if we are going to solve this problem, we need to set our priorities in place. We need to understand what's taking place in the church in light of God's priorities. Well, we've seen the problem in the church. Notice, secondly, the priorities of the church. When this conflict arose, the apostles took responsibility. They had tried to do everything for everyone, and they found it impossible. So they had to remind the people of the priorities in the ministry. Notice what these priorities are. Have a look there in verse number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they humbly, they didn't boast, they weren't angry. The apostles said to the people, in fact, they put it, threw it back into their lap, and they said to them, look, what would you rather have us to do? Would you rather have us to prepare and minister the word of God to you? Or would you rather that we serve people food and come and deliver the food and serve tables and distribute the goods? What do you think is more important, church family? That's what they said to the believers in Jerusalem. Now, remember, there were many of them, but in order for the problem to be solved, God's priorities needed to be set in place. Notice verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to, what's the next word? Prayer and the ministry of the word. So here we see the priorities of the apostles. Their priorities were very simple. Prayer and the ministry of the word, which includes preaching, which includes witnessing, which includes ministering the word. You see, if the apostles spent all their time handing out groceries, they wouldn't have time to prepare for the necessary preaching and teaching ministries. And they were spending time doing that which is important, don't get me wrong. God, they didn't belittle the need of the Grecian widows and the Hebrew widows. They didn't say that's not important, but they simply wanted to show the church what is most important. You see, once we set our priorities in place, everything else becomes clear. Our responsibility as Christians become clear. And that's simply what the apostles were communicating. The priorities of the church. What's more important? Passing out supplies or preparing to teach? Now, let me say this once again. The book of Acts is a mirror for the local church, not in everything, but in some things today. And what was true back then is true for us today. We need to set the priorities of the church in place. We need to understand that there are some priorities that must be set in place and that must come first before everything else. What is first? Well, the preaching of the word and the priority of prayer. Now, many people don't understand the role of a pastor. Perhaps they have not learned what the Bible says, or not been discipled and have an lack of understanding of the ministry of the pastor. But the pastor's priorities are simply the same. Prayer and the ministry of the word. And everything comes in line after that. After that, you see, many people think that the pastor is given all the sermons he'll ever preach for the rest of his life when God calls him into the ministry. I hope you realize that's not true. The Bible says, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The word work is attached to the calling of the pastor. Why? Because the calling of a pastor is a call to work. And that work is the studying of the word of God. Remember, Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is work involved for the minister of the word of God. Not just the pastor, but the teachers as well. And so you see, that is the priority. The preaching and the teaching of the word of God is the priority. You know, I could just run up here, and if I had the gift of the gab, which I don't, you know, some people that may have, I don't think I have. I could try and stir it up, but I could just run up here and talk to you about the latest news and pull out a newspaper, let you know what's happening around the world, throw in a few verses, and then we can leave and off we go into our day. Now, if you want that, we could do that. But if you don't want that, and I hope you don't, there is some study that needs to be involved. You know, a pastor can't do everything everywhere. Either could the apostles. That's why there were problems in the church. And the solution to the problem wasn't that the apostles need to sleep less and do more. No, the problem was that there needed to be some servants that would be willing to rise up within the local church and say, I'm willing to serve God. I'm willing to be a servant for God. I'm willing to do my part for the cause of Jesus Christ. You see, if the pastor doesn't have the help he needs, then that ministry starts to fall apart. That's the reality of the local church. Brethren, this church will never go further than what you are willing to do as a Christian. Oftentimes we lose sight of that. You know, the pastor. All the focus is on the pastor, who that will be, what their gifts are, what their vision is. Friends, that is all pointless if the church is not willing to move with that vision. It's all pointless if the men are not willing to stand up and say, I want to serve God with that direction. You see, the apostles, what did they do? They said, thank you for sharing this problem. needs to be addressed. We're throwing it back on your lap now. That's what they said. They said it humbly, but they said it honestly. They said to the church, preaching and prayer is the priority. If we are going to do what you truly want us to do, what God has called us to do, then we need to set these priorities in place. Look at the problem through this lens. So there was the priority of preaching and prayer. The priority in preaching and prayer. And they said to them, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. If that dropped, then the power of God would drop too. If all they did was turn the church into a social community group, nothing would happen. The church would die. It is the preaching of the word of God and prayer and the power of God that changes people's lives. Amen. That needed to be set in place. But notice also the priority of people. Now, if you've been wondering, well, Pastor, what about the widows? What about the people? That is a priority too. Don't misunderstand. The apostles weren't saying once again that don't worry about the people. Let's just preach and forget about the people. Amen. That's not what they were saying at all. They also declared that the people in need in the church are a priority. You see, the ministry doesn't only include the teaching and preaching of God's word, but it includes people. It includes people. Sermons are important, but people are important too. Where a church is made up of people, there are needs. And both were legitimate needs. The need for preaching and the need for ministry to people. But the problem was this, that the apostles couldn't do it all themselves. Would you agree with that this morning? That was really the problem. The problem wasn't that the Hebrew Jews and the Grecian Jews' widows had needs. That wasn't the problem. The problem was a matter of, well, who can help to meet those needs? The apostles didn't have the time. They were busy already. As the church grew, they got busier. Remember, the 12 didn't multiply to 24 and so forth. No, there were still 12 apostles in the church at this time. And so the needs grew. The needs grew. And there is that tension that exists in the modern church today, in our church. The need of people and the need of preaching. Now, you can't lay aside the priority of preaching and just focus on the people. And you can't lay aside the people and just focus on the preaching. Both needs need to be met. And what the Bible teaches us here in the book of Acts, that the apostles are not to be alone in meeting those needs. They are not to be alone. You know, the pastor can visit, but he can't visit everyone. The pastor can visit people, but he can't visit everyone. He can go to the hospital, but he can't spend all day at the hospital. You know, we need to understand that often in the church, there's just one pastor, even if there's no assistant or deacons. What is his role? Preaching and prayer. That is the priority. And that the minister of the word of God has to spend time alone with the Lord in study, preparing the ministry of God's word. So it comes down to a matter of priorities. Now, once we understand the priorities of preaching and then people, we can see clearly the proposal that the apostles gave to the church. We've seen the problem. We've seen the priorities. Notice thirdly, the proposal the church faced. There in the book of Acts chapter 6, stay with me, verse number 3. Here is what they proposed. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So, there is a problem. There is a problem in the church. There are too many needs and not enough people to help to meet those needs. So what did the apostles do, brethren? Notice very clearly, they threw it back in the laps of those in the church. They said, church, we're putting this matter back in your hands. They weren't saying it's not our problem. They loved the people, but they were saying, well, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do, they were saying. Let's put it back into your hands, and if you want to solve this problem, then here's the solution. Here's the solution. Well, what did they say? Well, they faced a challenge, didn't they? They said, choose out from your own number 7 men whom we may appoint over this business. The church had the responsibility of choosing some men who would be simply servants in the church. Do you know what they simply said, church family? Look up here this morning. They said to the church, church family, we've got some people that need ministering to. Who's willing to step up? Who is willing to serve God? Now, the word deacon isn't mentioned in these verses, but the word deacon later on in the Bible is described, and the title deacon simply means to be a servant. It doesn't mean to be a businessman. It doesn't mean to have a pole position in the church. No, it simply means to be a servant in the church. Now, please don't get distracted and say, well, Pastor, we have no deacons. That is true, but it doesn't mean we don't need servants. Amen. The focus of these verses is the need for servants in the local church. When the servants are lacking, the church is also lacking. Can you see that this morning? When there are not enough people to serve, the church struggles on without the power and the blessing of God. So the apostles threw the matter back in the hands of the church and said, church, here's the challenge. I want you to work it out. Choose some men. Choose some men that are willing to step out. Well, here's the challenge. They weren't just to be any kind of men. They were to be some special men. There in the Bible, notice verse number 3. What were they to be like? Look ye out among you 7 men, first of all, of honest report. That tells us they were to be good men. Amen. Not just any men, but good men. Well, what kind of men? Men of honest report. That means they had a good testimony in the church. Doesn't mean that they were perfect, but they had a good testimony. Their lifestyle, the way they live outside of church, earned the respect of those in the church. They had a good testimony. They were of honest report. It refers to men who were saved. Amen? Of course. Men who live a Christian life. They were to be men of integrity. They would be men of Christian character. They were ought to be men who stayed away from evil. Amen? Desiring to be a blessing to others. They were to be good men. Notice, secondly, they were to be godly men. Look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. You see, these men were to be men who were walking in the Spirit of God. Not walking according to the lust of their own flesh, but walking in the Spirit of God, seeking to obey the Lord. Godly men. You see, these were the ones that God was looking for in the church. These were the ones that God was calling to serve. And let me assure you this morning, these are the ones that God is looking for today. Amen. Here in our church. It may not be for the office of a deacon, but remember, a deacon is a servant. Forget about the title. It means a servant. That's whom God is looking for, men and young men. Servants. Servants to help, but first of all, they must be good men. That's the testimony. They must be godly men. That's their walk with God. And notice, thirdly, they were to be gifted men. Gifted men. They were to be full of wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Wisdom. Now, where does wisdom come from in our Christian lives? The Word of God. That's right. Now, you and I, especially as men, those of you who are men, we are full of wisdom. But it may not be God's wisdom. Would you agree? All of us have different backgrounds. We all grew up under different parents and different cultures and different places around the world. We've learnt some things, but it may not necessarily be according to God's wisdom. So a servant in the church that God is looking for is one who is filled with wisdom from God. That means one who is full of God's word. One who knows the word of God. One who doesn't live according to their own feelings or according to their own lusts and priorities, but is filled with God's wisdom. Makes their decisions based upon, thus saith the Lord. But these servants weren't cold-hearted, truth bearers. No, they also needed to have wisdom, which included a heart for people, a desire to put themselves last and to put others first, to be willing to minister, to be willing to use their gifts and abilities, not to protect their own personal position in the church, but to be a help, to reach out to those in need. Now, those are some very strict requirements, wouldn't you agree? Good men, godly men, gifted men. But this is the bar that God has raised, and He's calling young men and men to meet that standard. Amen? To rise up. That's what the apostles said. They said, all right, there's problems in the church. Here are our priorities. Church, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Who is willing to stand for God? Who's willing to get serious about the work in the church and the work of Jesus Christ? And brethren, we need some good men in our church. Amen. I'm not saying we don't have any, but this is the kind of men that we need to encourage our young men to be. These are the kind of men we need to encourage our men to be in church. These are the kind of men that God are looking for to serve Him. You know, we don't need businessmen in the church. That's not what a deacon is. We don't need businessmen. We need servants. We don't need people who are of a certain age either. Age doesn't necessarily equal wisdom. Wisdom means putting God's word down into your life. That's what wisdom is. We need men who are willing to serve God, willing to hear His voice, and willing to be a blessing to the church. Amen? That's what the church needed. They needed men of God. Now, just because we don't have deacons, let me say again, it doesn't mean we don't have any godly men. Amen? I'm thankful for the men who serve in the church. But, brethren, there's room for many more. Amen? There's room for many more. And the Bible tells us that this was the challenge to the church. So, here's the proposal. The apostles gave them a challenge, and then they needed to make a choice. They needed to make a choice. They didn't have to do anything. As the apostles brought this before the church, understand that the apostles could only do what they could do. They had to keep the priorities of God's calling upon their life in place. And the issues in the church would continue to be neglected until some stepped up. Is that correct? Absolutely. Until some stepped up, the problems would continue. So the church faced a challenge and they faced a choice. What will we do? What do we want our church to be? You see, you can see all the church people in the church thinking this through. Well, what are we going to do? The apostles has given us a challenge. Are we going to, how so often we do as Christians, pass the buck to someone else and say, well, let him do it or let them do it or forget about it. I'm just going to sit here and suffer the consequences and the loss of God's blessing. Or are we going to take God's proposal with two hands by faith and step up and be what God wants us to be? That was the church that the choice faced, the choice that the church faced. So as they were considering what they were to do, notice what happened in verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Wow. That's amazing. Can I say that again? I don't know how many people were in the church at this stage, but the saying pleased the whole multitude. I dare say this was a church that, though it wasn't perfect, hey, there was murmuring. It wasn't perfect. There were some sincere believers in that church because everyone was pleased. They said, yes, that way the preaching can still continue. The people will be ministered to, and it'll encourage some of our men to step up and be blessed of God in return. So the church got together. They made their selections, and these 7 men were presented to the apostles for final approval, and they were chosen and appointed to the task. And as they chose these men, these passages are commonly being referred to as the first selection of deacons in the church. What are deacons? I hope you can see this morning. They're simply servants. Servants to help minister to God's people within the church. Why? Because the apostles couldn't do it all. Their priority was preaching and prayer, and the deacons would help ministering to minister to the people of God. Now, would you agree this morning, as we wrap up, that the church made the right choice? Yes or no? Did the church make the right choice according to the proposal of the apostles? Yes, they did. Now, the apostles couldn't make it for them. They had to do this themselves. They made the right choice. Verse number 6, they set these men before the apostles. The apostles prayed, laid their hands on them. By laying on their hands, they didn't impart some special spiritual gift. The laying of the hands was simply a visible confirmation of their calling to a ministry of service. So, it was a confirmation. But notice, lastly, in verse number 7, the blessing that resulted. This is the key verse, I believe, to chapter number 6, verses 1 to 7. You see, if we want God's blessing upon our church, we better get with God's program in the church. Notice verse 7. And the word of God increased. So there's the priority of the preaching. The preaching of God's word became more blessed of God and empowered because the apostles were not distracted by the multitude of things that they wanted to do but couldn't do themselves. They weren't pulled in two directions. And the word of God increased, and as a result, the number of the disciples multiplied. That's amazing. So that means people stayed in the church. They didn't leave because of murmuring, and more were added to the church. But don't miss this last point. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What does that mean? That the local church, who is willing to love one another and serve one another in God's grace, to put away the murmuring, not only got the attention of the lost who were seeking Christ, but also the religious Jews who were against Christianity. The priests. What a testimony in the local church. And brethren, you might say this morning, Pastor, this is such a high bar. What are we going to do? Well, we need to make the right choices. Amen? Simply make the right choices, Christian. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand that there is a need for servants in the church. The need for servants in the church. Now, men, this is a challenge primarily for you. Amen? Amen? This is a challenge primarily for us as men. What are we willing to do for God? Are we willing to serve God with our lives? Are we willing to be a blessing in the church? Because if we're not, the Lord will say, okay, that's where you're at. But understand that that will limit my blessing. That will limit my ability to use you to reach others. That will limit my potential to move you further in the work of God. That's the challenge that the church faced. It ought to be a challenge for us this morning. Now, ladies, God wants you to serve Him as well. But the focus of these scriptures were on the men. And the Lord wanted not just the ladies to minister to the ladies, can you see? But there were some men that were to minister appropriately to the ladies too. That's what the Bible says. Of course, there's no circumstance that a man should be found alone with a woman in any place. That's not his wife. But the ministry is in need of desperate need of servants this morning. Servants in the church that go far beyond what the pastor has the ability to do. Brethren, if everything is done by the pastor, then this is my church. Is that true? But we need to understand that if this is God's church, that means we are all servants of God. This is not my church, brethren. This is God's church. And if He has saved you, if He has put you in this church, He has called you to be a servant. a servant of the living God. It may not be in the specific role of a deacon. But that doesn't mean if you're not a pastor or you're not a deacon, then there's nothing to do and there's no place. That's not true at all. There's plenty of ways to serve the living God. There are a need for servants, brethren, in the church. You know, we've seen the blessing in verse number 7, haven't we? The word of God increased. Souls were saved. Even priests became one of them. But what became of two of these deacons? Well, Stephen. Stephen was one of those deacons. Stephen was a young man who was a servant in the church. And what happened to Stephen? Well, later in the Acts chapter 7, we'll see that he became the first Christian martyr. He became the first one that God used as a bright, shining testimony for all eternity. And his testimony ultimately led to the salvation of another priest. Amen. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, the great Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Can you see how God used Stephen? Now, trust me, when Stephen went to be with the Lord, he was rejoicing in eternity over everything that happened to him and that all the blessings that would come as a result of his testimony. But then there was also Philip, not Philip the Apostle, but Philip the Evangelist. Can you see the blessing upon Philip's life as he stepped up and he said, yes, I want to be counted among the number of the servants in the church. As he stepped up, what happened? God blessed him. God said, Philip, I want you to go now to Samaria. He said, hang on a second, I'm here in Jerusalem. I'm serving in my church. And he said, no, I want you to go down to Samaria now. I'm going to use you now to take the gospel to the Samaritans. I'm going to use you now to reach the Ethiopian eunuch that will take the gospel to Africa. I'm going to use you here. I'm going to use you there. I'm going to give you three wonderful daughters. I'm going to bless your home. Amen. The home of Philip was blessed. Later on in the book of Acts, you'll see that. But you see, God blessed the church. God blessed his servants. God blessed the widows. There was no more murmuring. The church wasn't perfect, but it went forward in leaps and bounds. Because the church made a choice. Brethren, we need good, godly, gifted servants in this church who are surrendered to the Lord's calling. Now, if you are surrendered and already serving, let me challenge you, amen, to be willing to step up even more. If you are not serving at this present time, let me encourage you to take the challenge and begin to serve. Amen. If that means being baptized and becoming a member of the church, if that's what it takes, amen, then that's what's needed. If it means surrendering your time and what you value and what you see as important, some of those things, laying it aside for the sake of the gospel, then that is what needs to be done. The future of the church rested upon this turning point in the history of the first century church. That murmuring had the potential to rip that church in two. Grecians on one side, Hebrews on the other. After that, there could have been a sectarian church over here, Independent Baptist Church of the Jewish Hebrews, and the Independent Baptist Church of the Hellenistic Greek Jews. Why? Because we just can't get along with each other. Brethren, that wasn't the problem. The problem was that there weren't enough servants to help minister the Word of God, the counsel of God, the distribution of supplies in this particular case. You see, there were need of servants in the church. Well, the wrong choices will lead to a hindrance in God's work, but the right choices lead to God's blessing upon the church. Let me encourage you, church family, from my heart, whoever the pastor will be of Coastline Baptist Church, they need some servants. Amen. If you just throw all your confidence and your hope in a person, they can only do so much. Now, I'm not saying that's what you've done. I'm just saying, don't do that. Amen. Don't sit back and say, well, let's see how things go, and maybe in a few years I'll step up to serve. Amen? I trust that you're here to serve the living God. I trust that you want to serve Jesus Christ. And men, we need to match the women in this church and their willingness to serve. Amen? We need to at least match it in soul winning, in service, in attendance. Amen? Men, we need to step up. Let's encourage one another to be servants of God. The need for servants in the church. The church faced the problem. It had its priorities, which had to be kept in place, unmovable. That included people. And a proposal was made. And the church grabbed it with two hands. Everyone agreed. Men, women, Hebrews, Greeks, children. They all agreed. And they said, let's do this. Let's be a church that's blessed of God. Now, it does take time, I understand. But there are some decisions that need to be made in each of our lives. Ladies, God wants you to serve Him in the local church. To be a part of what God is doing here. To strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now, anyone can murmur and complain. But it takes a surrendered Christian to say, here am I, Lord. I want to serve you. I trust you'll be that kind of Christian. Amen. Good, godly, and gifted, willing to serve the Lord. And trust me, God promises He will bless. God promises He will be given the glory among His people and be happy and glad to take His people further than they thought before.